The gates to the Rose Garden are now open. Welcome to my world. You are listening to Talk That Talk with Danielle Moneyham, a reflective conversation where I share the lessons I've learned on this journey called life. I don't have all the answers, but I do have plenty of questions. My name is Danielle Moneyham, and this is my love letter to the world, where I let my soul speak. Let's talk. Hello, friends. Welcome back to the Rose Garden. So much has changed. It's been a long time. I shouldn't have left you without a dope beat to step to. Rest in peace, Aaliyah. Okay, welcome back. I had to take the time off for the summer. Cancer season, it rubs me the wrong way. And I had to take a little bit of time off for the summer. But I am back, and I'm so happy to be back. So much has changed since the last time I opened the gates to the Rose Garden. This is season two of Talk That Danny G, and you may have noticed a few changes. As you know, if you've been following the podcast, the reason that I started it was because there was a lot of chaos and madness happening during my wedding planning season, and I really needed a place to process. So Talk That Danny G was the place for me to sit. It was a protected space for me to be able to process my feelings and have conversations that if I broached the topic randomly, people would be like, what? But if I say like, hey, do you want to come on my podcast and talk about X? People are like, yeah, that's so cool. So you see how I figured that workaround. So Talk That Danny G became a place where I could talk about these different topics in a space that was protected, safe. Everybody could say what they wanted to say. People wouldn't take anything personally, and we could grow from it. Now I am Danielle Moneyham. As you know, hashtag D-Money is coming. Hashtag D-Money has arrived. So Danielle Moneyham and my name and my identity and who I am has shifted from when I first started to who I am now and where I was when I first started to where I have currently landed. Since then, since first starting off recording my podcast from my cell phone with my friends, I have a slight setup, just a slight upgrade with my mic and my laptop. I've worked with a brand manager who has helped me really articulate what I want to do. She's helped me put together the visuals behind my brand. So Glow Her Hustle and Natalie has been absolutely amazing with everything that I've done for this next season and this next phase. And I realized that through that first season and that first journey, I learned a lot of skills and I learned a lot of stuff about me. And one of the things that I learned about me through that chaos, through that madness, through creating a space to have a voice, I learned that I was the light that I had been waiting on. Like I'm always talking about these dark spaces and what do you do when shit goes dark? Well, you can't control what happens around you. I wish that we could. We don't have any influence over when shit go dark or when it don't. But what we do have influence over is when we go dark and when we don't. And so in spite of the environment going dark around me, I had to learn that I was the light that I had been waiting on. But like, what do I mean by light? What light? Who is light? How am I a light? I look at the impact that my actions have on others. I look at how other people feel when they're around me. I look at all of those factors to determine what is my impact on the world and on the environment that I'm in. My EFF, my essential friend forever, told me that I am the thermostat. And I realized that that's true. I can go into a room and the mood can shift. Have you ever been around a person that they walk into a room and the room can either get bright like, oh, so-and-so's here, hey. Like when your favorite cousin comes to the party, you've been waiting all day sitting on grandma's couch and then your cousin walk in, it's like, hey, that. Or you could be the opposite. Everybody was good. Life was good. We was cool. Everybody was chilling. And then you walk in the room and all of a sudden it's like, oh, like you like a dementor. Have you ever been around a real life dementor? Somebody who just walk into the space and it just changes and shifts in a negative way? Yeah, I've been around those people. I try not to be around those people. What I realized is that I was the light. I was the light that I had been waiting on. I needed to realize what that meant for me, and what that meant for how I operate in the world. When everything else goes dark and I realize that I am the light, it means that I need to shine in spite of all of these other things going on around me. I need to pull from within. I need to figure out my locus of control, my internal influences, what drives me, and I need to focus on that. I cannot focus on external things that are going to drive me crazy, piss me off, stress me out, blow my mood. I can't focus on those things because if I do, I let that stuff in. I have to charge up from the inside and shine out so that I can influence the darkness around me. And that's what I've been doing. Shining bright like a diamond, trying to do the best that I can to figure out what my light is and how I can learn how to tap into that. What does that mean, though? I mean, it meant that I had to get to know me. It meant that I had to become comfortable sitting with me, just me, and enjoying time, not with distractions, because I thought that I knew what it meant to be alone. I'm not a twin, you know, like you come into this world alone, you're gonna leave this world alone, all of that good stuff. But I realized I had always been around someone. I've always had a roommate. Clearly, when I was a child, I grew up in the home of my parents and my family, and I had a sister, Little Honey. Little Honey and I shared a room until we were probably in like 7th and 8th grade, and then we couldn't go to sleep. So my mom would come in the room and we would be in there laughing. And then, well, we wouldn't be in there laughing. Little Honey would be in there laughing, but mom would yell at me because I'm the older sister. Shout out to all the older siblings in the world. I know we the real superhero. Where are our capes? Where is our parade? All of the older siblings of the world who have had to take care of and get in trouble for and cover for and give snack money to all of our younger siblings. We love y'all, but I'm just saying, you need to appreciate what you got, because you could be an only child. And then you wouldn't have nobody to take snack money from, or you wouldn't have nobody to blame real easy and convenient like. I'm just saying, you need to appreciate what you got. So I had to learn how to be alone outside of my sibling, outside of my sister. I had my cats when my sister and I purchased a home. I bought Thor and Loki. I adopted them from a shelter. So even if my sister wasn't home, I had Thor and Loki. I had my emotional support animals. In college, I had my roommate. I love my roommate Tabby. I love my roommate Talisha. And then I moved into a house with my now cousin Courtney. So I've always had roommates. I've always had my emotional support animals. I've always had somebody else living around me. Until I got engaged. When I got engaged, I had to learn what it meant to be alone. That Danny G transition, that time between when I was single and when I was a wife, that fiancéhood, that is when I had to learn what it meant to really be alone and to really fall in love with me for who I am, me. Not me and my sister, not me and my cats, not me and my friends, not me and my family, not me and any other association. It was just me. So I had to ask myself, like, well, who are you? What do you like? What do you want? And there were certain things that I knew. Like, I knew what I was interested in. I knew those things, but I didn't know how to take care of me. When you're so busy taking care of everybody else, you know how to jump. If your friend calls you and they have a problem, you can jump into solve mode. You can be like, all right, what do you need? Where do we need to go? Who do we need to talk to? What resources do you need? I have an example of, and I loved this example. my friend told me about her husband. One of his friends was going through like a crazy divorce. Like some stuff went down. It came out of the blue. The husband and his friends hopped on a conference call with the brother who was going through the divorce and created a whole like resource and support team for him. Like jumped straight into action how to take care of this person. Do you keep that same energy when it comes to how to take care of yourself? Like we will go above and beyond. We will exhaust all efforts to take care of people that we care about. Burning the candle at both ends plus the top. But when it comes to yourself, we will say things like, well, I don't have time for that. Or self-care, like, what is that? That's not even real. It's very, very real. You cannot pour from an empty cup and you can't take care of everybody if you don't take care of yourself. So what does it mean? And how do you even explain to people that you need me time? If you are the person who takes care of everybody, you are everybody's emergency contact. When people need stuff, they call you. How do you explain to people that you need time? Especially when number one, you've never needed time before. So why now? Did I do something? Where is this coming from? Oh, you acting funny. Or two, how do you do it in a way where you don't seem selfish? Where you just wake up one day, you ghost the world, and you be like, yeah, nah, I'm done. I'm tired. I'm out. Neither one of those are like sustainable solutions. They might provide you with like some temporary, like I feel good right now because I was able to get through this short term whatever, but like neither one of those approaches are good for your long term sustainable health. And also when it comes to teaching people how to treat you, neither one of those ways are helping people understand what you need in order to feel good. So what I've realized is that in the beginning, self-care can seem like it's really overwhelming. We don't know what it is. We don't know how to do it. We don't have the time for it. We don't have the money for it. But there are ways that you can get to know you and pay attention to you so that you can start to integrate these little things into your just day-to-day life. So in HR and organizational culture, I'm always big on like, so what's in the culture? What's in the culture? Those are the things that are present and prevalent. Nobody has to tell you. So for example, I went to a training at Hamburger University, which is the place where McDonald's headquarters is. They have pop machines, right? Just like if you're walking through the halls, it's like a conference space. If you're walking through, there are cups and there are pop machines. It's clear that part of the culture is that if you want something to drink, go on over there and get you some unlimited pop from this. Like, it's clear. It's there. I don't have to have a sign that says, hey, little thirsty, do you want some pop? Like, I don't have to say that because I put all of that there. It's clear if you are thirsty and you here, you got everything you need to go handle your thirst. That is what I mean when I say like having it as being an integrated part of the culture. There are things that you can do for yourself that you don't have to like put out a sign and say, I'm doing self-care. This is what self-care looks like to me. It's just part of your day-to-day routine. So that you will eventually just start, you won't even have to think about it. It's just like forming a new habit. One way that I focus on self-care and celebrate myself, things that I like to do, is I use music. I have a playlist to myself. I have a Charge Me Up playlist. I have a playlist that's dedicated to me. I have a running playlist. I have a Thank You Jesus playlist. Like I have multiple playlists. Not just like going on your favorite streaming platform and just picking like top 100 songs, because that's cool too. But like real songs that speak to your spirit. I said this before on the podcast. When I was on my way getting kidnapped to my bachelorette party, you can go back and listen to the episode when I talked about what they did for my bachelorette party. It was absolutely amazing. I had a playlist that I shared with my bridesmaids. And when we were going to the airport. I had no clue where we were going, but when I was kidnapped in the back seat, laying atop of three of my bridesmaids, I was listening and I said, it's either Brooke, one of my bridesmaids, I said, it's either Brooke or Jesus on this on the turntables right now. Because I had the playlist, but the order that the songs were flowing in was so heavenly. It was literally speaking to my soul. And of course, it all played out that way in true fashion because Good Life by Kanye West was on and I was rapping my little heart and soul out. I always had a passion for flashing. Before I had it, I closed my eyes and imagined like I was going in. When I get my car back activated, I'm back to Vegas. They stopped the music. And then they was like, so I guess we could tell you. And I'm like, tell me what? Ha, ha, ha. Then they gave me a piece of paper that was a boarding pass that said we're going to Vegas. They took me to Vegas overnight. That playlist, that music, and then the song after they pushed play. So now I'm ugly crying, shaking. I told you I was laying on their laps. Ugly crying, shaking, and the back of my scalp was sweating because one of my bridesmaids was recording me and you could see the sweat on my parts from my locks. You could see how just overwhelmed my little body was. And the music definitely had an impact on that. Another thing is movement. Paying attention to what your body likes. Exercise is important. We know that. We know we have to move our bodies. We know that a 50-year-old body in 2019 is not the same as a 50-year-old body in 1950. We have had medical advances, technological advances. We live longer. We have access to medicine, all that good stuff. You got to move your body. We know we have to move our bodies. But moving our bodies can be boring. Moving our bodies can, we don't want to do it. Exercise, yuck. No, you're not doing the exercises that your body likes. What does your body like? What movement does your body like? I've done a lot of different type of exercises throughout my little time on this earth. Some things that my body really, really likes that I love. There is an instructor in Chicago. Her name is Vicky. She is amazing. She has this class called Throwdown. It's like cardio kickboxing plus twerk plus like arm isolation with a little bit of stretching. It is everything to a house mix put together by one of my favorite DJs, DJ B-Man, who was also my wedding DJ. So it was like a party. Going to her class was like a party. I also love doing weightlifting. I like feeling strong. I was almost about to lie and say that I like doing kettlebells. I don't like doing kettlebells. Kettlebells are like torture. But I like the feeling of accomplishment after I've done a kettlebell workout. I've not felt that feeling in a long time, but I always will have the memories. I also bought a trampoline. I use it to jump around. And I have brainstorm meetings on my trampoline. Trampolines are good. They are low impact. They don't hurt your knees. And they're fun. You see what I'm saying? Even running. I don't like running. Was I on the track team in high school? Yes, I was on the track team in high school. But I don't like doing long distance running. It's not fun. Or is it that I didn't have the right playlist and I didn't have the right incentives? As soon as I found out that you can run for medals, for fun runs and 5Ks with your friends, and you can run, walk, and it's not like super heavy time, like all of that, it was like, hey, this could be really fun. And I ended up doing a 5K fun run for my birthday. It's figuring out what your body likes to do, what movements your body likes. Even cooking and the food that we eat, please do not get me started on the role that food plays in our self-care or self-destruction, depending on which way you want to look at it. There was a study in my hometown, Chicago. The life expectancy was there was a 30-year difference between people who lived in one area in the Gold Coast and people who lived in another area, Austin. 30-year life difference. because of where you live. It has to do with access to resources, including groceries. We know people live in food deserts. We know that you can go to grocery stores and it's more economically feasible to buy 3 bags of chips than it is to buy 3 avocados. Do you know how much 3 avocados will cost versus 3 bags of chips? And I'm mad that chips don't cost a quarter anymore. I get it. But still, it costs way more money to shop for healthy food if you even have access to healthy food to shop for. But what do you cook? We still have to think that food is fuel. What we put into our bodies matter. What we feed our kids and even our parents, all of that stuff matters. So what do you eat and how do you use food as fuel and how do you use cooking as a form of self-care? Like, what is your favorite thing to cook for yourself from scratch? And I have had to reprogram myself to think about food differently because all of this matters. All of that self-care stuff matters. I used to, in high school, back in the day, Garo cheeseburger, mild sauce on everything, and it was wonderful. That would have been my definition of comfort food. I'm tired. I'm stressed. I had a bad day. I'm about to go get a Garo cheeseburger with mild sauce and an orange pop. Shout out to Chi-Town. All of that stuff will kill me today. And I'm not using the term kill lightly. All of that stuff, like the high blood pressure, the fat content. I don't eat pork or beef anymore. That's a different story. But the point is, like, I've had to shift how I view food. I'm still shifting how I view food. I'm still working on trying to integrate healthy, fresh fruits and vegetables into my diet on a daily basis. That's part of self-care, though. What we put in matters. And then writing and language. We spend a lot of time communicating with we communicate with everybody else. Social media, your emails, your text messages, just verbal conversations, nonverbal conversations. We spend so much time communicating externally to all of these other relationships that we have to manage. How do you manage the relationship with yourself through words? When was the last time you took a moment to write yourself a love letter? Because let me tell you, you talk to yourself. We all talk to ourselves. And it's amazing what will happen if you pay attention to what you say to yourself. Because I don't know if y'all watch Curb, but I love Curb Your Enthusiasm. I, too, identify as a social assassin. Larry is not wrong, as we saw with the whole fatwa season. But there was an episode where Larry got high and he was seeing him. He was talking to himself in the mirror. That's how I talk to myself in the mirror. If you've not seen that, you should probably just YouTube it. But you can imagine just somebody talking to themselves in the mirror, just anything that you got to say to you. Let me tell you about yourself right now. Just you in the mirror. We will do that. If we are mad, if we did something that we pissed off about, we can be so incredibly harsh, cruel, mean, and unforgiving to ourselves. We're not kind to other people. We got to practice being kind to other people so you know we aren't always kind to ourselves. If I was to pull from my hero, the honorary Dr. Kanye West, when he said, "I thought about killing you today. I think about killing me and I love me way more than I love you." So, hello, if I think about doing that to me, and I love me way more than I love you, what do you think that I can do to you? That's what we do with our language. So if I tear myself up in the mirror, when I roast myself and have a good old roast session, I can have that same cruel energy when I'm dealing with other people and communicating with other people. So to flip that, what happens when you are nice to other people? You are kind to other people. You do say nice things to other people. You use your words of affirmation and love languages to demonstrate kindness and niceness to other people. Are you doing that for you? Do you keep that same energy for you? How do you speak love to you? How do you communicate like me? I love me. And do it in a reflective way. Like, we have those conversations in the mirror when we're upset, because clearly something went down. We disappointed ourselves, and we got to let us know. We get it. Girl, I can't believe you did that, blah, blah, all of that stuff. When do you celebrate you in reflective ways? When do you stop and say, like, I remember you struggled with that. I remember last time you were in this situation, you lost your temper. I remember when you had the goal to do what you just did. When do you stop and be like, hey, me, I love you? Like, when do you do that? You got to do that for you. You have to do that for you. Because you can't spend so much time taking care of everybody else that you don't take any time or invest any effort in building yourself up. You can't pour from an empty cup, like I said before. You got to make sure that you take care of you. And it doesn't have to be expensive or time consuming. Like I said, some of those ways that I listed earlier, having your playlist to yourself, or figuring out what movements your body likes, or cooking food that is good to you and good for you, or just using your words of affirmation to express love and appreciation to yourself. Those are things that you can do daily. Integrating that stuff into your daily practice so that it becomes part of who you are and part of your culture. It's part of your routine. I have what I call my money hand mornings. I start every morning with a routine. I have a scripture that I start with, a devotional that I start with, and then I share my scripture and devotional with my prayer partner, and she sends me her scripture and devotional. So I read both of those. Then I sit, I reflect, I calm myself down, I think about what I want to do today, and then I write a list. Like, I have a routine that helps me start my day strong. I realized that my day was mine a long time ago. Like, I used to wake up anxious. When I was in college, I dealt with a lot of bullshit. More, we'll talk about that another time. But I learned that I had to wake up and center myself. I would wake up anxious. I would wake up nervous. I would wake up still with trauma and the ick of the day before still on me, carrying that stuff from day to day. And I realized, like, nah, you got to decompress. You got to let that stuff go. You got to refresh. And every single day is yours. This is your day, just like this is your life. And the people that you allow in it, they are here as guests. And if they do not know how to behave in your space, you have the right. You have every right to opt out. You don't have to deal with certain people. And part of that strength was me setting up my morning and my routine so that I could put on that full armor before I walked out. Because if I walked out exposed and I did not set my mind right and I did not center myself, I would get back into this world that is full of chaos, madness, darkness, and confusion, and I would allow it inside. And that's what I mean when I say that I had to realize that I was the light that I had been waiting on. In spite of all of this madness, in spite of all of this chaos, I didn't have to let any of that inside. I did not have to let any of that penetrate. In fact, I was able to block it and let my light from within radiate out. I'm able to reflect. I don't have to take any of that stuff in. I don't have to receive it, but I'm able to operate and walk in my light because I know who I am. I have taken care of myself. I've made a commitment to take care of myself. I made a commitment to protect my peace and always be aware of my light. And once you realize that you can do that same thing, I'm telling you, you're untouchable. And you really will be able to shine wherever you are. I made a commitment to myself. After this past year with Talk That Danny G, evolving into Talk That Talk with Danielle Moneyham and who I am today, I made a commitment to myself. Anywhere I go, I will shine. My light will be visible. It's my responsibility to protect my light. It's my responsibility to protect my peace. It is my responsibility to protect me. Remember, you are all you got. Self-care is it. I'll talk to y'all later. Bye. All right, superstars, we are all out of time. Thank you for listening to today's episode. If you love the show, make sure to subscribe, share, review the episodes, tag a friend, talk to me. Visit DanielleMoneyham.com and follow me on social media to stay connected. Your support means the world to me. So thank you for helping my dreams come true. A major lesson that I learned, that I continue to learn, is that although you will experience dark moments in your journey, you can be the light. You have more power than you know. Until we meet again, shine bright.